Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Justice was served on a rope. When evil was done, that was all that she wrote. But somewhere somebody decided that wasn't right. Now the bad guys run free in the street, while the good guys pay the price. They say people don't kill people, guns and rebel flags do. We can't speak of Jesus, cause how dare we ever speak the truth. These days, it's hard to find a line between right and wrong. With the past erased and rewritten, we don't understand where we came from. We'll be doomed to repeat those mistakes unless we tell that story right. There's no way around the truth, no matter how hard you try. They say people don't kill people, but guns and rebel flags do. And you can't speak of Jesus, cause how dare we ever speak the truth. Used to, justice was served on a roll.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
Hold tight with a leather fist. Watch out when he starts to twist. What the daddies used to tell them boys, how to ride them bulls. I got a jingle in my jeans, sore places in between, and I'm leaving old Salt Lake with a push and a pull. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coupe de ville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Turn up that radio. Don't want to think about a rodeo. Don't want to think about a roundup up in old Cheyenne. Well, it's a crazy circuit. Oh, but still you work it. Turn down that sound, boys. Let's get up and check the scan. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coupe de ville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Bandana hanging on the mirror, still wet from ear to ear. Well, I guess it's true then what the wise men say. When you ride your last one, well, make sure he's the best one. Jump while he's moving, tip your hat, boys, and walk away. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coupe de ville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. 10-4, buddy, come on back. A horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the coupe de ville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill.
So let's see if that fixed it there. I got somebody on the other end there supposed to be letting me know if the sound is good. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Let's see. So that one, there it goes. And then we'll go back over here and we'll double check with our... hearing me now? I got stuff pretty cranked up pretty good, but other than that, looks like we do have sound going over there, so that's always a good thing. You know, it's funny, like I said, you switch over in the mic, the website, you have a direct connect through the internet, and then it won't let you use anything. It'll just tell you it'll just turn it off. So it won't hook up anything until you reset it.
So that's always a good thing to make sure that's working out right. And there we go. What is he doing? There we go. All right, sounds good. So, yeah, we're going to keep it cranked up here, and we're going to keep on going. And I'll even turn it up a little bit louder, and we'll keep the volume turned down so everybody can hear me. So, yeah. So, hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio coming at you. We're live every Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern time. You call in at 516-387-1733. Don't forget to go over and subscribe to our YouTube channel. I really appreciate doing that. And check us out at everything. You find the links to YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff over at our website, redneckandeyes.com. And we appreciate everybody doing that for us. And, you know, thanks to great sponsors, like one of our great sponsors that we've had the pleasure of getting to know over the last year, even more than that a little bit because of COVID and everything, but it's LTR Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. They are a great little outfit out of Denver, Colorado, a trucking company. They got, you know, all the logistics services that, you know, a shipper might be looking for. So if you're a driver out there looking for a good company to call home, you know, these guys here, they've got the expedited service. They've got the temperature control. They got the hazmat certification, you know, all the different special handling stuff that shippers are looking for. And, you know, they offer a great bunch of services to shippers and different customers. So, you know, if you're looking for a place that's going to have freight, looks like they've got it worked out pretty good. The website's got a lot of good connections to a bunch of different customers out there. And like I said, you can go check them out at ltrtransportation.com or you can give a call at 720-277-0030. And when you talk to them, let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes because we really do appreciate them. So I wanted to talk about a few things. We were talking about last week about the COVID vaccination mandate coming down the pipe. Now, as of right now, nobody has said anything about the mandate being like a government law other than the president. You know, what he did was is he instructed OSHA to come up with a rule. Well, the rule hasn't been released yet. So the official like writing of the rule, and of course, you know, he said in the speech that, hey, you're going to be required to have a vaccination to be able to work or agree to be tested every week. So, you know, all the lawyers will tell you, well, you got to write it out. You got to have some kind of, you know, special circumstances and you got to have this and that. And of course, already companies, not trucking companies, but other companies have already said they will file lawsuits saying that you can't do that. So in trucking, we, you know, a lot of drivers are talking about it because owner operators, you know, your problem is that you might be contracted with a company that says, hey, you got to do it. And you have to decide, or, you know, if you're not vaccinated, then you have to decide, am I going to go get vaccinated or am I going to, you know, stick it out or be against it or whatever. And it's all about, you know, what you think. I mean, some people might get vaccinated just because, you know, just because it's okay. It's all right. You know, if I got to do it, I got to do it. You know, it ain't no big deal. You know, I think I'm one of those where, you know, if they told me I had to, okay, fine. You know, but as far as everything else goes, I mean, if you're relatively healthy, maybe you already got it and you recovered from it, you're fine. You know, technically they say that if you have natural immunity, which means that you got it and recovered from it on your own without any kind of, you know, special medication like a vaccination, then you're like, you know, 10 times more likely to ward off any other infections because, you know, you already got it in your system to where they know how to fight it. Your body knows how to fight it off. So that kind of thing. But, I'm a good thing I got people looking out for me because you push certain buttons to try to get something to work and it turns the other stuff off. So I'm hoping that fixed that because on my end, everything sounds great. Of course, I've got it hooked up to where I'm going into different deals, so I don't know if it's getting out to different plugs just the way the plugs are hooked. So there's no way of knowing. I'm thinking that did it because I had it. That's how I had it before. So that should be good to go. But anyway, yeah, so what was I talking about? That's right. So what I was going to say was is that you don't you know, you're fighting off the, we talked about, you're fighting it off and you're good to go. Right. So what I was going to say was, is that, in trucking, you know, we have all of these other restrictions. We have so many other restrictions that we really, we kind of said, all right, if I got to do it, I got to do it. All right. You know, I mean, just off the top of my head, I did a little bit of research and it isn't that hard to find out because Google is great, right? And even if Google is somewhat wrong, what I was going to say was, is that, we truck drivers nationwide, okay, in order to go to work for a company, once you start working, then you have to get a drug test, right? And you're obligated to undergo a random drug screening process no matter what. If you are a solo owner operator with your own authority, you've got to be part of a drug testing program where you're in a pool of other owner operators. Most likely you're paying for a service, a monthly fee that you got to pay to be part of this program to where you're in a system to where you're going to be randomly drug tested at any point in time. You work for a company, owner operator or company driver, doesn't matter. You are part of their testing program. And the federal government requires the companies to do random drug screens where they have to check, I think it's 10 to 20% or 15% of their drivers that you're obligated to check that many drivers every month. So every month, this company, however big a company is, they have a list with that a computer randomly generates. And, you know, you figure, you know, companies that have, you know, 500,000 drivers, they have to randomly pick these drivers to have a test. Some of the tests, not all of them, are even alcohol based to where they do a little cheek swab to make sure you're not drinking. Okay. But most of them are all just, you know, pee in the cup. Now, also, if other people out there don't realize this, but a truck driver is required to carry paperwork that has, you see it in the permit book, you're required to have paperwork that a DOT officer will stop you at any given time where they can pull you over. No big deal. You don't have any way of fighting this. This is in the law. You get pulled over and you say, hey, I need you to pee in this cup right here on the side of the road. Now, most of the time, they're not going to do that on the side of the road. What they're going to do is they're going to be in a scale house. They're going to say, take this in the bathroom and fill it up, bring it to me, give me your paperwork. And the paperwork, what it does is it has the company's information filled out. You fill it out, put the driver's information on it, and then the DOT officer closes everything up, sends it off. And that's part of the inspection process. Why do we allow this to happen? Now, you go look at all of the major professions out there in the United States that have any type of, you know, I'm just saying a lot of liability tied to them, okay, or a lot of power tied to them, you know. I don't think that a lot of refineries, they do maybe drug screening processes or they do alcohol screening processes on their own, you know. There's not necessarily a federal law regarding that. There might be in certain circumstances, depending on chemicals and all that stuff. But that's at a facility where stuff could blow up, you know. So, you know, you never know. But in my research, what I found was is that doctors and lawyers and school teachers do not have to do this. Okay? Think about that. Think about doctors do not have to be screened for drugs. Lawyers do not have to be screened for drugs. Well, and if you're all mad at the government, just think about them. There ain't no politicians out there that's got to be screened for drugs. You know, you see it all the time when they make movies and TV shows about politicians. Politicians are all out there smoking pot, doing drugs, sniffing lines, you know, all the time. And then they go and they vote on a law that dictates how you live in this country. So just think about that. Think about just, I mean, you know, come on. There was an article that I talked about before where it was very low. It was like less than 15% accidents. It was less than 5% of, like, if there was any traffic accidents involving a big truck, it was like maybe 2 or 3% of them were drug related. And I think it was like 4 or 5% of them were alcohol related. you know, but you look at the national average, and the national average is like around 8 or 9%. So it's like when big trucks, you know, it's very low percentage, you know, and you're talking about, you know, small, like I said, small portion, but it hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. The laws, you can make the laws stricter, you know, just how they had the, you know, where if you fail the drug test, you can come back and all that. None of that has, you know, when they try to change those laws and they say it's making things safer, the numbers really haven't changed. The all of those circumstances have not done anything different. So that kind of deal was just got me rolling a little bit about how, you know, truck drivers, you know, we talk about how we have done a lot of things that we're just okay with. We're okay with, you know, having a blitz out here, scheduling that. You know, we've got good drivers that out here doing good things, and the DOT officers and inspectors are telling all the bad drivers, hey, we're going to be out here inspecting next week, so if you ain't got a good truck, get it off the road. I mean, you know, we should be bitching about that more. And we should be talking about how the rules are really, really strict. You know, it's so funny. I remember years ago, it was like on a national news. National news talked about how it was truck drivers are hard, you know, driver shortage, right? The national news, national radio show on satellite radio. It wasn't a trucking channel. It was a regular news channel. Had a radio show, and the host was talking about driver shortage. Brought somebody from the ATA or somebody on there, and a driver called in. A guy called in. He's, I'm a truck driver, and goes, and this is crap. You know, this, you know, it's too many rules. And then the radio host says, why you do it then? And he's like, oh, the freedom of the open road. Like, well, wait a minute now. There's no freedom out here. There ain't no freedom. You know, I mean, we do it because we're good at it. And we do it because, you know, we're good at it, and we can make good money doing it. But there are a lot of rules. And what we see out here is, you know, when your driver's out here trying to obey the rules, we see so many people breaking the rules, getting away with it. Because there's, you know, they're not enforcing it like you think they are. You know, just like we're talking about vaccination mandates. The rule's supposed to come down for OSHA. OSHA don't care. OSHA is going to set up that rule. If they do come out with the rule, which they haven't yet, what they're going to do is they're going to go after the big companies. That's who they're going after. They don't care about the little companies that shouldn't be operating because they're not following the rules. They don't care about that. They don't care about shutting down those bad drivers or bad companies. They go after the big companies because the big companies have the checkbooks. That's all they care about. So let's bring in our number one expert in this topic, and let's see how he's doing out there tonight. We got the audio things fixed up. What's going on, Greg?
Not a whole lot, Ed. Just come back in. I've been out there working on the trailer, trying to get everything put in there and get it organized. And
yep.
Just working on that. Hey, so how's everything been going?
Yeah, so far so good. Yeah, I got a little extra stuff worked out where we got some audio fixed, and I just had to, it was, you know, I had everything fixed up, and then, like you're saying, you couldn't hear anything, and then Robbie told me on Facebook there he couldn't hear anything, and I was like, you know what it was? I just had the wrong buttons pushed.
Yeah, it's not quite as loud as it's been in the past, but it's not bad. It's okay.
Yeah, and I figured out that I can crank it up a little bit more. I just haven't because on my end I can hear real well and everything. So
right.
I thought about, you know, I can even probably turn it down more on my end, and
right,
and not be that bad. So
yeah.
So, yep. But yeah,
yeah,
everything else looks good. So what do you think? I don't know if you heard or not, but the OSHA, they already announced the dates, their safety blitz inspection dates for next year already.
Their what dates for next year?
Well, you know how CVSA puts out their inspection blitzes where they, you know, they did the safety check, the brake safety week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they've already announced the dates for next year. They're going to do international road check on the May 17th. They're going to do Operation Safe Driver Week on July 10th. And they're going to do their Brake Safety Week on August 21st. These are all next year, 2022. So just like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, as a truck driver, you already know when to take off It's either, okay, so take off during the week of the truck show and then take off when they're out there inspecting, and that's when you take vacations.
I don't care. You know, I don't care that they do that. They do whatever their little heart desires. But it's just like I've said in the past. You know, I've made comments, and, you know, and I don't care who likes it and who don't. You know me. I just want to know when they're going to do it in the middle of January or February when the snow's flying. Why they got to do it in the summer month? We got to work in the winter. Why can't they?
No kidding, right? Yeah.
You know, and why do they have to have them blitzes? Why do they have to have a blitz? They call it a blitz. And they go out there for 72 hours or whatever it is. All yep. they're doing is what they should be doing every day.
Well,
every
yeah,
time they stop a truck, they should go over that truck and inspect that truck at level one, whatever. Don't go over and just eyeball and say, yeah, okay, well, yeah, it looks okay. Yeah, that's a truck. Okay, see you later. You know, it's nonsense.
Yeah, well, I mean, just like we said, all the bad drivers, the ones out there driving crappy trucks, they love it because they know when to not be on the road.
Like me, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're out there. You don't care when they inspect your truck. You know what they're going to find. You know that if you get inspector on a bad mood, he's going to find something wrong. You know,
that's right. They want to find something. They're going to find something.
Yeah. And then like all these crappy drivers out there, they just know they try to stay away from all that because they know they'd be shut down because they
right.
they don't take care of their equipment. And there's so many of them out there. There's so many of them out there. They don't take care of their stuff. And we see it all the time, you know, how they just don't take
right.
care of it. And they just get away with it. And, you know, it upsets us out here, but you know, that's, we're not going to forego our standards because other people out here with low standards, we're just, you know,
right.
hope that we can see it and point it out. That's the way we see it.
Nah, I see them anymore. I don't even worry about it. I don't avoid them. I don't try to miss them. I don't try to dodge them. I just go down the road, do my job. I look at them. They're there. Okay. I look right at them and keep on going. And do you
yep.
want me to come and get me? You know, I don't care anymore.
Good deal. Yep. Yeah. Just finding a lot of things going on this week. You know, like I said, we were talking about the mandate. I don't know if you heard me a little bit ago. And, you know, I think truck drivers, I think we shouldn't be much worried about this mandate because it hasn't really come down the pipe yet. They haven't even announced the rule yet. You know, the only person
yeah.
that said anything was the president. And nobody said anything else about doing it. You know, OSHA's probably sitting back there going, man, we don't want to have to go to work. You know, he's gonna make us go to work, man. We're sitting back here.
Ain't nobody here anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
Ain't nobody gives a damn what he says, especially me. I could care less.
We're right. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think everybody's just kind of sitting back because, like I said, nobody's come down the pipe with it. No, you know, I think they're all going to try to sweep that under the rug. They're going to just try to stay quiet with it, not try to do anything about it, and it's probably just going to go away here in the next couple of weeks because writing the rule, you know, that's going to be hard, and then you've already got companies already – sworn that they're going to, you know, sue as soon as that happens. So, you know, I just don't think it's going to come down the pipe. I think truck drivers should probably just kind of take it easy and don't worry about it right now. And, you know, if you do feel you got to go get vaccinated and you don't want it and, you know, you don't think it's a big deal to not do it, then, you know, you're going to have to go do it anyway. So, but other than that, you know, one guy was talking about how he wanted to travel internationally and he couldn't go unless he got vaccinated, so he went and got vaccinated, but he didn't want to, but he said, I can't go on my trip. I said, well, you know, it's up to you. It's decisions you got to make. So a lot of truck drivers need to do that, I guess. Just, you know, contemplate what you got to do. If you don't want to do it and you don't think you should have to, I don't think there's going to be anybody going to tell you that you got to. So
right.
Yeah,
I don't know, but crazy as this world's getting anymore, I don't know who in their right mind would want to go travel international and go out of the country right now. Ask them people in over Afghanistan. I bet they wish they never went over there now.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. There was a guy, he was in the United States. His wife and kids went to Afghanistan like earlier this year for a wedding. And then right, they were like scheduled to come back. But then all of a sudden, boom, all this went down. And he went over there himself. And of course he's a U.S. citizen, but he's born in Afghanistan, all this stuff. So he's been here, you know, 10 years, whatever. And And he went over there and he said, you know, thanks, because I understood the language, I understood the country and the concepts, I was able to get what I needed done, and everything was great. And they asked him, they said, what do you think about, you know, they contemplated this, they knew what was coming, they had everything prepared and all that. And he's all that, that ain't right. That's crazy. He said, because if they were new, if they'd have known this was coming, then he would have known, because he had family over there already, you know. And, you know, the State Department said, we warned everybody. No, you didn't. Because, you know, there's people over there now still stuck, you know, so yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I worry about it. You know, I don't worry about it. Anybody, they can, you know, do whatever you want to do. You want to get the vaccine, get the vaccine. You don't want to get it, don't get it. Don't tell me to get it. I'm not telling you not to get it. You don't tell me to get it. You know, it's just, you know, do what you, just like you said, you know, you do what you want to do. And I don't understand that. If you want to get it, get it. If you got it, what do you care if I got it? Because it's supposed to protect you. Well, they're finding out now the ones that's getting it, that's already got the vaccine, is getting sick and they're dying too. It ain't helping them. It ain't done them any good. I don't know. I don't know. It is what it is. I don't know what to say.
Well, I just got a question on the Facebook Live. So does Ohio have a automatic restriction on their CDL?
What do you mean an automatic restriction?
Like you can only drive trucks that have automatics?
Yeah, I believe that if you're, yeah, I can't be 100% positive, but I do believe that one of my buddies, Donnie, in fact, he was just over here today. I think he said that his cousin or nephew or somebody, I don't know, somebody that he knew went and trained. When they went through driving school, they trained on an automatic, and that's all they're allowed to drive. So in order to drive, to get a job with a company, if they've got manual transmission, you have to go be recertified and train and get recertified to drive a manual transmission. Crazy, huh?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And that's so funny to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
in my honest opinion, you shouldn't be able to drive anything. If you can't drive a manual, you shouldn't be able to drive, period.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we always thought. When I remember when I was coming through, some drivers trained on automatics. And then, of course, some trucks, trucking companies, they were buying those auto shifts, which, you know, they were kind of like automatics, but not really. But, you know, there's all these different ones. You know, remember when they came out with the Super 10? You know, that was always the big issue, because like you couldn't, the gears were different, you know, so it was hard. Shifting was hard. But our safety guy, you know, his question, they asked him, what about doing the automatic versus manual and all that? And he's like, well, why not do both? You know, why not make sure everybody's trained on doing the manual? That way, if you do get an automatic, it's no big deal, you know. And then if you get into a manual, you're good to go. It ain't that hard, you know.
I think it's real interesting. I think they should do like they did back when I first started driving, when my dad, my grandfather, and them all started teaching me to drive, take you out and put them in a Mac with a duplex or a triplex or a quadruplex, put them in one of them somewhere. When you learn to drive that, now you can say you're a truck driver.
Yeah, exactly.
You stick one of them in there now with two sticks or three sticks in it, they'll look at you like they're crazy. You're crazy.
Yeah, well, and then,
it basically would be, because there ain't no way. They just wouldn't do it. They couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, think about all the others. Think about all the others. Remember the whole deal came down with a lot of these companies, these big companies, had their different shops to where they didn't want you to double clutch. They wanted you to float, or they didn't want you to float. They wanted you to double clutch. And that was the other, that was the other person that was brought. And he's like, so do we allow drivers to clutch or to float, you know, because certain circumstances, you know, and the mechanics, a lot of mechanics, even the mechanics were kind of split on it, saying that floating was better than double clutching was better than floating, you know, so there's a lot of debate on that. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, depending on how you did it, you know, if you did it right, either way, no matter what, if you did something right, you weren't going to tear anything up. But you know, when the problem is you get somebody that don't know what they're doing and you try to tell them to do it, then, yeah, you're going to mess stuff up. So, yeah, wear and tear is going to tear up no matter what.
Well, it's just like I told Tiff. When I met Tiff and her and I started, she started driving, you know, they teach, everybody gets taught, you know, you double clutch. Most of your driving schools, they teach you, well, they did until they got a mask come around. They teach you double clutch. You got double clutch. And if you didn't double clutch, they'd fail you for it. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, if I had to take another driving test right now and I had to double clutch, I'd fail it. I'd fail it bigger than anything. Yeah. I can't do it. I cannot do it. I float shift all the time. I touch the clutch when I start, and I push the clutch if I have to stop. But other than that, I can go anywhere I got, and I never touch the clutch. Unless it's just to touch the toe on it, to kick the jake off or something, or reach over to keep the foot or switch, whatever. But I can't double clutch. If I double clutch, I'll grind gears. I'll miss gears. I can't do it.
Yeah,
too many years of float shifting.
So the only way you'll use the clutch is if it's in your left hand, then, right? That's the only way that you can use
it. You know, it's crazy, but it's, and you know, and what you know, mechanics. If they're a good mechanic at all, a mechanic will tell you. I mean, me from working on my own truck and as many years as I am, any time that you break that clutch loose from the flywheel, you're wearing on that clutch.
Right.
Anytime that clutch and flywheel separates, if you separate it by pushing that clutch, as soon as you separate them plates, and that clutch touches that flywheel, I don't care. As soon as that clutch, there's slippage there. For a second, split second, mm-hmm. whatever, you're wearing on that clutch disc.
Right.
You know, if you don't touch that clutch, you got no wear there. It's not wearing if it don't separate. If it don't come and, you know, if it don't disconnect and come, you know, on contact with that flywheel, it's not wearing nothing. But every time that flywheel, that clutch disc breaks loose, you know, separates and makes contact with that flywheel, you got wear there. It's not much. It's not over time, but it's the point that it's there.
There you go.
I've got probably 300,000-400,000 miles on my clutch, and I've never adjusted it. My clutch has not been adjusted. I put it in there. Well, when I rebuilt the engine in mine here 2 years ago, we rebuilt this Detroit, and I got 13-speed. When I put the engine back in the truck and everything, I done an out of frame on it. When we put it back in, I put new clutch, everything. New clutch, new flywheel, everything. Everything new in it. Adjusted it up. It's been going on two and a half years. I've never had to adjust the clutch yet. It's just like it was the day that I adjusted it up. So it's like, yeah, it's all your driving, you know. You want to go out there and cowboy, you're going to wear the things. You're going to tear things up.
Right.
It's you live and learn. You know, you live and learn. It's all just it's just you got to learn. You learn from your mistakes.
There you go. There you go.
You know, you can go and tell somebody. You can tell somebody the right way to do it, and it don't matter because they're going to do what they want to do anyhow. So you don't even bother anymore. You know, you just let them do what they do.
Hmm.
You just sit back and say, "I told you so."
Yeah. What it is, what it's all about is like I said, you get it done and taking care of your equipment. So you going to hang out here for a little while? I think I got Robbie on the other line too. I'm not real sure what he's thinking about.
I'll be here for a little bit. I just got done out there, so I just come up, go to us. I got to go up and I got to call Ed because last week it was pretty much a wash last week. So I said, yeah, I'm going to. I didn't even, time got away from me, you know, I was out there working, so I figured, yeah, I'll come in, and it was getting dark here, and I'll go in and give him a call.
Right, right.
So go ahead and get a hold of that boy.
Here he is right here. You hear Robbie?
Well, yeah. What, Greg, you're going to leave because I finally chimed in?
Leave? No, I got no reason to leave. I ain't scared.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big boy. I ain't scared of you.
Yeah.
I can eat your weight for dinner, man. You don't weigh that. You ain't nothing.
Oh, I bet you could. Better have a heater.
Hey, Robbie, I want you to know that I told Tip what you said about the fire pit up here. Would you come up next week or whatever? And she went out today and bought a fire pit just so you would have a fire pit so you could sit out here in the backyard and stay warm and drink a beer with us while you're up here. I just want you to know that. Now, tell me that ain't spoiled.
No kidding.
She's treating me good then.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll go ahead and put my two cents in, and that is as long as it ain't raining or snowing, then we better be out riding. So that's all I can tell you.
That's not right.
I got the bikes out today, the first time they've been out of the garage probably over a month.
Man.
And I pushed them out of the garage backwards and set them out there in the driveway side by side, all three of them. And they sat there, and I cleaned the garage, straightened it out, put my tea bucket in there, and got it ready so I could start working on it. And I put the Kawasaki up in the building over there, the Vulcan. I put it up in the shed out of the way and put the two Harleys in the garage behind the tea bucket. I'm thinking, you know, I started them up long enough to pull them up in the garage and shut them right back off. And that's the most they've been running in, I bet you, probably a month and a half.
Man.
We haven't rode much this summer. Been too much other stuff going on.
Yeah, I've already said when I packed my bags, I was thinking about, well, I know I'm going to take my jacket. And I said, you know what, I'm going to take my gloves. I'm going to take my liner, all that stuff that I need. If it's, you know, all I need is a stocking cap and all that. If it's chilly, that's fine. As long as it ain't snowing or raining. Man, I tell you what.
It's actually not supposed to be too bad up here October. They're calling for in the 70s up here, I think, on the Saturday.
Yeah.
It's sucking with the day of the week. I think they're calling for like 70 degrees up there.
Yep.
So,
in the mornings down here every morning, it's like 77, 78 degrees every morning here when the sun first comes up, and it's nice. It's nice to get out and ride at that time.
Yeah, it's been 70s here in the morning, and it gets right up. It don't take nothing. It's right up in the 80s. Today it was 80, 81, 83, something like that. I don't know. It's too damn hot for me.
Damn.
Be all right. Maybe get about 65, 70 and stay there year-round. I'd be good with that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm down here.
It's warm enough that I'm comfortable, and it's just cold enough that it keeps Robbie away.
Oh, God. It's still been in the triple digits back in Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, it's always in the 90s. Every day, it starts out at like 78, 79, and then by noontime, it's already like 92, 93 down here.
Mm.
Good stuff.
Hey. I figured you'd be down there on the border passing out water.
No, not me, man. Yeah, that was another thing I was going to dive into. Do you see the FAA tried to shut down those news drones flying over that bridge, recording all those crazy people?
Yeah.
Yep,
well, yeah, because they don't want the public knowing about it.
Yeah, exactly. And just earlier, we were watching it, and a couple of people were there like, well, those people are in Mexico. And I was like, no, they're not. They came across.
No.
And
where
they are, and I don't know if people understand this, maybe it's a good thing that people like us explain it, but that bridge is running across the border. Like, the river is right there. If you keep looking on that in the videos, the river is right there. Well, that area that they're at is technically a floodplain. So, like, if it come a gully washer and rain for, like, you know, 2 days straight, that area that they're in right now would flood because that's where the river is. And there's a small little dam area right down there where they're just walking across. And technically they're walking across saying, hey, we're here, you know, help us out. And they're being held.
I don't know, but if I'm wrong, am I so wrong for wishing it would?
Rain? Well,
no, flood.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was, well, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, I don't, my situation is that I don't wish those people ill, because those people were lied to. Those people were told,
right.
You know, so really what it needs to do is Washington, D.C. needs to flood. That's what needs to flood. So,
well,
yeah, those people were lied to, you know.
It's going to flood. D.C. is going to flood. Trust me, it's going to flood.
Yeah, because those people.
I don't know just when. It's going to flood.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what, you know, they're not even from Mexico. They're being brought into Mexico and then being shipped up to the border because they know. Because the people running the country right now says, come on, everybody, come on. You know, that's what they're doing, you know. So they just don't know what to do because that's what happens, and they just want to spend more money, you know, which all boils down to, you know, I was thinking about the other day, you know, we're talking about how people are running the country right now are crazy. Just, you know, we found out that Milley called the Chinese general and was talking bad about, you know, how he was trying to sweet talk them and all that and everything, and people don't understand. But what I think is that our problem is we, you know, I've always voted third party until Trump came along. But really what it is it's both parties are really doing bad. They're not doing good at all. They
nope.
You know, it's a system that we've allowed to take place. You've got this deep state, which it doesn't really matter who is in charge. They're always doing whatever they think is best and not what they're being told. So really
right.
It doesn't matter. You know, it's always those deep state people, just like the DOT and the FMCSA. You know, we always thought we need a different, you know, if we elect Bush, he'll fix it for us. Or if we, you know, kick Obama out, he'll fix it for us. But FMCSA is its own animal. They do whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter who's in the White House or who's in Congress. FMCSA does whatever it wants to do. So until that is, you know, until you get those people under control, nothing's going to change. And, you know, it was so funny because it's like, what did I say? It was like the Democrats, they, you know, they don't worry about taxes until they're in charge or whatever. And then the Republicans, well, they don't, you know, they don't worry about, or they only, yeah, they only worry about spending when they're in charge until they're not in charge. When a Republican gets into the White House, spending goes through the roof. And then when the Republican gets kicked out of the White House, spending goes through the roof, and then they bitch about it. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you did the same thing, so what the hell? You know, so, and the Democrats is the same way. You know, they complain that the, you know, just like, well, it's just like with Biden. You know, he's always talking about how Trump didn't have any empathy. Like, you know, he's treating people bad, he doesn't have any empathy. Well, tell you what, Biden ain't got a lick of empathy. He's doing whatever the hell he wants to do. Screw empathy. You know, he's telling people, if you don't get vaccinated, then I hope you die. You know, if you don't get out of Afghanistan, I hope you die. That's what he's saying, basically, to people, you know. So he doesn't care about people's lives. So, you know, that kind of stuff. So, Republicans, they're not doing any better, because if they would have done any better, then they would let the government shut down until we get all of this other stuff under control. But they're not going to do that, you know, because they're a bunch of wimps. We always say that. They're just a bunch of wimps.
Well, you know, I keep seeing stuff on Facebook, and you know how Facebook is. It's 90% bullshit, you know, excuse me,
yep.
But that's what it is. You know, calling for truck strikes and shutdowns and this and that. You know, they can call it whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. And it's like I can't sit there and watch this and see this. It ain't in the cards for me not to comment on it. Like, I can't do this. It's just not my nature. And it's just like I told them. Yeah. You know, and it's like, it ain't going to do you any good. Well, we're going to strike. We're going to shut this down. We're going to have slow rolls, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. They might as well go piss up a rope.
Yeah.
I have been listening to this since I started driving back in the early 80s. All right. I've seen Dad and them go through it back in the 60s and the 70s.
you're never, never, ever, ever going to get these drivers to all stick together. They will not do it. They will not agree on the price of a free cup of coffee. You know, if they say that the sky's blue, you better go look, because somewhere, somehow, somebody's going to change something. It's never going to happen. But they still keep insisting that they're doing this and they're doing that. And, oh, they're making a change because the store shelves and stuff is empty. And the ships are sitting out there. Here is the latest one. They got 600,000 containers or something sitting out off the shores, you know, out off the coast of Los Angeles or wherever the hell it was, that they can't, because they ain't got enough truck drivers and they ain't got enough longshoremen to unload the trucks and move the stuff. Bullshit. That's what I call bullshit. You know, they can call it whatever they want to, truck strike, do whatever, shut down, call it whatever you want to. But you shut your truck down, there's five trucks out there running yet. I sat last week. I mean, I said I've been off all week, not because I wanted to. You know, I mean, I had to put a bumper on my truck where a guy backed over me and backed in, tore my bumper and stuff off the truck, and I had some stuff to do. You know, not because I wanted to sit home, just because that's the way I do. You know, that's just the way I do. I go out, I work, you know, Robbie knows, I come out here, I stay out, you know, 8 to 10 days, and then I go home for, I come home for a week, you know, I stay home for a week.
By day five, you're already complaining about ready to go home.
What's that?
By day five, you're already ready to go home.
You're right, because that's just the way I am. Truth be known, I don't want to do this no more. 37 years of it, I've had enough. I've seen all the stupid things out here, and I sit there and I watch it, and I watch these idiots out here now, and they're gonna fix the world. They're gonna control the world. They're gonna fix everything. Yeah, they're gonna fix everything. How are they gonna fix it? You know, well, we need to shut the trucks down, and we need to show them who runs this country. Okay, and then a hurricane blows in, and it tears New Orleans up, and it tears everybody up, and messes everything up. Oh, we can't shut the trucks down. We got to go down there. We got to help everybody out. People need us. Oh, yeah, then people's glad to see you. Oh, yeah, the truck drivers, they're great people. They come here bringing this stuff. We need them so bad. As soon as that shit's all over with, You're a big asshole again, you know. They're out there flipping you off, cutting you off, doing whatever they're doing. They don't care about you. As a truck driver, they don't care. And the ones that's causing all this, you know, and I'm not going to mention names of organizations, but everybody that knows in trucking knows who I'm talking about. Your big organizations, your trucking associations, pick your state. Your big one that everybody knows of, you know, yeah, them, mm-hmm. What are they doing? They ain't doing a thing for you.
Yeah.
They're not doing nothing for you, or nor will they ever do anything for you. They're lying in their pockets with your money is exactly what they're doing.
Right.
And anybody that knows different, if they're so great, then why is everything still going the way it's going?
Right. And not going.
I just can't get behind these people.
Yeah. It's going in the opposite direction. It's not even like stagnant or whatever. It's just it keeps getting where more and more authority gets taken away from us, the drivers. More and
right.
more, you know, more and more restrictions are put on us. You know.
Yep.
So why, you know, like you're saying, what are they doing?
I just, you know, I mean, God bless them. If they feel that if they feel they're making a difference, you know, then hey, by all means, yeah. What Aaron Tippett say? You got to stand for something, or you fall for anything. Okay, stand up, do what you think is right. But it's all the same thing. It's just like trucking is just like this pandemic. You know, if you feel that you have to go get that vaccine, then by all means, go get it. If you want to get it and you feel that that's what you have to do, then go do it. You know, if you feel that you have to stop your truck, then do it. But you got to understand that it's just like that vaccine. You're not going to get everybody to go take it. And just like the trucks, you're not going to get everybody to stop them. You know, they're piddly-ass truck strikes that they want to call it now. They want to see a truck strike. They should have seen them back in the 60s and 70s. When they said strikes, that's exactly what they meant. They was beating drivers' ass. They was tearing trucks up. They was burning trucks. They was shooting trucks. And it wasn't, a lot of times, it wasn't the drivers that was doing the shooting. They call for a truck strike, and that give every Joe Blow in the damn country the right to think, well, we'll just go out and start shooting at them too. You know, they'll think it's the drivers doing it.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. It's nonsense.
Right. Yep.
Now, I went through one back in the early 80s. That wasn't long after I started driving. I was coming home empty because they called for one. And I said, you know, I ain't getting tied up in this mess. I haven't been driving that long. Yeah. I took a slug right through the side of a cab over right behind the driver's seat. Went right through the side of the bunk on that international cab over that I was driving. Went through and it's stuck in the wall on the other side of the truck. Yeah. It'll get your attention. You know, it gets your attention real bad. You know, you never get over stuff like that. When you get shot at like that or something, that sticks with you for a while. You know, you go back in the early 80s, late 80s, when J.B. Hunt and them went through that stretch up there in Canada. They was hauling anything out of Canada. They'd haul it to the border for free, and then the company started paying for it when it hit the United States border.
Right.
Yeah. J.B. Hunt went and started with the Reapers, when they started blowing Reapers. Then they started with flatbeds. They lost a lot of trucks. There was a lot of their trucks got burned. You know, guys would jank them out of the truck, give them the option, either get out or we're going to take you out. And they'd set fire. They burned the trucks right there at the border of Canada. Go back and do some research on that.
Hmm.
You know, I've been around a while. 37 years. I've seen it. 37, 38 years. I've seen a lot of BS out here.
I bet. Yeah, like you're saying, especially back in the day.
So these ones out here running their mouth now, I don't want to hear it. You know, go talk your stuff to somebody else. I don't know. That's my rant. I'm done. I just wonder why.
Hang on. I gotta stop that. There we go. I stopped it. I don't know why I started doing that.
Because it's time for a break. Because Ray's getting out of hand.
Yeah. Play the music. Cue the music.
Cue the music. Greg's getting out of hand.
Waylon Jennings got a song. His outlaw shit done gotten out of hand. You ever hear that song?
Which one was it again?
Yeah. Waylon Jennings did a song years ago that said this outlaw shit's done got way out of hand or something like it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's not Luckenbach, is it?
No, I don't know if it was on that album or not, but it was a Waylon Jennings song. Waylon Jennings did it. It was a song, him, and I forget who did it with him. Waylon and I forget who it was. But they did a song. It was called This Outlaw Shit Gotten Way Out of Hand, or It's Gotten Out of Hand or something. You had to Google it, listen to it. It's kind of comical, but it's true. I mean, it's, you know, it's like that old saying they had on a T-shirt or a thing that was on Facebook for a while. Everybody wants to be an outlaw until it's time to do outlaw shit, and nobody wants to do it.
Right. That's right. Yep.
And that's the way it goes. Everybody wants to call themselves an outlaw out here until it's time to do it, and then nobody wants to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody wants, I mean, I say it all the time, everybody wants to drive 85 until driving 85 ain't cool.
They want to do it, but they want to follow somebody else. They don't want to be out there. They don't want to be the first one. They want to be the last one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I did years of that. People using me for a bird dog. I run across, running here, running all over, you know, running all over the country, running, you know, that was when the speed limit was, you know, 55, 50, 55 mile an hour. Hell yeah, I was running around 65, 70, 75, 80 mile an hour out across West Texas. Yeah, bull haulers and stuff. Yeah, they get out there, they get with the program. They wasn't scared. Them boys had balls bigger than the bulls they was hauling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but they didn't care. You know, they didn't care. And somebody, oh, yeah, I'll run with you. Yeah, have them. Didn't have a truck to run with them.
You always knew who the wannabes were. They were the ones they would – most of them were pulling reefers, and they were the ones. They were passing you doing 85 miles an hour out in the middle of nowhere, but as soon as you started going through the little towns with the red lights, then they were going like 30, you know. So it's like, you know, they passed me doing 85, but then, you know, the speed limit was 45 through the little town, and I'm doing 55, 60. And here I am passing all these guys, you know, especially out there in Colorado. I don't know why they felt that they could do 85 when the speed limit was 75, But then when they got down there where the speed limit was 45, they only wanted to do 40. I was like, come on, man. You want to be an outlaw with fuel.
Well, here's another one. Now I'm gonna since we got this conversation started, yeah, I've never been one to hold back on nothing. If I got something, I say it. And here's another one that's come up here in the past in the last several years, when they started out with the trucks. Now we gotta have the technology with the trucks now. Now the trucks are gotta be now when they come out and they're retrying the women, all right. And there's a trucking organization out there. Now, I'm not going to say. Everybody knows who they are. But it's a women's organization out there, women drivers. Now they've got to they want now with the truck. They went and with the truck manufacturers. Now they want the trucks to be more women-friendly.
Yeah.
Women-friendly. So now they got to have better seats. They got to have more driver friendly trucks for the women, because hey, bullshit, the women when they come up, it's the same old thing. They want to be in a man's world and drive a man's truck. They do it the same way we did. They did it for years, since the beginning of time. Women's been out there, they've been driving them raggedy ass trucks just like the men does, and they dealt with it. But now all of a sudden, well, they're too good for that. They got to have more women friendly trucks. If you can't do the job, then get your ass out. Go find something else to do.
Well,
let's face it.
Most women that do the job, that do it well, you know, they don't support that idea anyway. They think that's a silly thing. Most of them that come out here and do the job, that can do it well, they don't complain. Like you're saying, they deal with it. They do what they were trained to do. Or, you know.
Yeah, what's that right across the table from me? She tell me, oh, I want to go back driving, but you got to get me a woman-friendly truck. I tell you, you know what? Stay at home. You either drive the truck we got or you sit at home. She drove the trucks that we got out here. She drove the best of you, the worst of the worst.
I don't know what a woman-friendly
truck. I didn't say she did. You know, she never said it, but I'm just saying.
I've never said it.
These women out here that think that they're better, you know, they've got to have the best. They got to have different trucks. They got to have better trucks. They got to have better seats. They got to have the pedals. It's got to be so they move closer to them, and they've got to do this, and they got to have better steering, and they got to have, that's right. Suck it up, Buttercup. If you can't do the job, then most McDonald's is hiring. You'll get you another job. You know, if you can't do, if you want to live in a man's world and do a man's job, then fine. And they keep saying, well, you know, women deserve the same amount of pay as a man. That's right. I agree with that. If they're out here doing a man's job, then they should get the same equal pay as a man. But if they don't want to do the job, if they can't do the job, then they shouldn't be entitled to the same pay. That's simple as that. They're the one that started this. Now let's finish it. It's my opinion. It's crazy.
And with that note, we're going to take a break.
Take a break.
Hey, we want to appreciate
Greg's getting out of hand.
That's good YouTube, though. Good YouTube right there. But yeah, hey, we're going to step away and take a little break. We got a special thanks for our sponsors at DPF Regeneration. You guys check them out, dpfregeneration.com, or give them a call at 800-634-3010. And we appreciate this. Redneckanized. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel and check our website out, redneckanized.com. And this is Redneckanized Radio. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You can even hear the music at night.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckanize. Redneckanize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Purple.
You see it at the truck shows, out there on the open road, even in the driveway at his house. Johnny keeps it spit shine, shining on it all the time. He wants it looking good when he goes out. Why do people laugh at him and shake their head when he pulls in the parking lot? He's just another trucker man, trying his best to fit right in, but fit or not. He drives a old purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. 'Cause that old purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah. Now he could have a green one, although he's never seen one that looks as good as what he's got right now. Black might look more manly, or red like Christmas candy might help his clearance lights and chrome stand out. Then maybe that would be enough to end the jokes about his truck from all his friends. But he'll live with the teasing, 'cause he ain't out for pleasing no one but him. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. 'Cause that old purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a old purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. You know, there's a lot of truck drivers out there on the road, and just like Johnny, a purple truck is their second home. And they'll be the first to tell you, son, you better leave old Johnny alone. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it.
All right, it's
'cause that royal purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud.
I know we are live here every Sunday at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Be part of the conversation, just hit one. And we're just here talking along about things out there on the road, news, talking about, you know, vaccination mandates or CBSA getting ready to do blitzes next year already again, truck show, all that kind of good stuff. One of the things I wanted to dive in a little bit was an article I found. It was talking about Ryder, the company, the trucking company that does, you know, they do rentals, but they also do truck service. They have a lot of service centers that do maintenance facilities, maintenance and of course, trailer rentals and truck rentals and stuff like that. But this article here was on techcrunch.com. It says Ryder could build a logistics network with autonomous trucking company Embark. This was released on Thursday. It says supply chain and fleet management solutions company Ryder is partnering with yet another autonomous trucking company. On Thursday, Ryder announced its plans to help Embark launch a nationwide network of up to 100 transfer points that will be owned and operated by the autonomous trucking developer. This is Ryder's third public partnership with autonomous trucking companies. It recently announced plans that are currently underway to help Waymo Via scale its autonomous trucking business by helping with standardized fleet maintenance and management. Ryder is also working with TuSimple to leverage its own facilities as terminals for the set for the startup. It says we are at the cutting edge of really beginning to understand that autonomous vehicles could have a pretty significant role in the future of transportation logistics. So we want to get in as early as possible and start working with these companies that seem to be dominating the market with their technologies. This is Karen Jones, Ryder's EVP, I won't say executive vice president probably, for new product innovation. There you go, told TechCrunch. It says, while Ryder has been in talks with other autonomous vehicle companies like Kodiak, Aurora, and Plus, Jones said no other deals are in the pipeline. Jones says Ryder is hoping to learn and grow through the different uses cases its existing partnership provides, as well as come up with a replicable transfer hub model that will help the company go to market faster. It says, I think as we move this technology forward, there's still a lot of unknowns about how to maintain, how to service, and how to operate, said Jones. Ryder is a natural fit to partner with because it's a huge facility for maintenance, and we also have our supply chain and logistics business. It says, we are a real operator that knows these facilities and getting vehicles in and out of delivery to larger facilities work. It continues on. It says Ryder is helping Embark to understand that what's required at the facilities and cooperating with Embark's third-party partners who will either be constructing or locating sites for these facilities, says Jones, as part of the companies will select sites in key freight markets in California, Arizona, Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida, through which Embark will be able to begin operations early next year to preparation for a larger commercial launch in 2024. And it's got a map here. The map is stretched. It's like North Carolina, the straight line across Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, everything south of there, and, of course, goes into New Mexico, Arizona, and in California. So autonomous companies often choose Sun Belt regions to begin operations because it's rare to have to account for inclement weather patterns like snow and sleet. They don't want to be having them automatic trucks operating up there in the snow because we know, you know, regular truck drivers can't even drive in the snow. So it says making the environmental optional for testing, but over the next 5 years, Embark and Ryder aim to work with a network of real estate operators to open 100 Embark transfer points across the country. So currently Embark, which recently announced plans to go public via a SPAC deal, moves freight for companies like HP and Budweiser, Maker, Anheuser-Busch, as well as Knight Swift Transportation, Werner Enterprises, and others. Top 25 U.S. truckload carriers, according to the CEO, Alex Rodriguez. It says Rodriguez says Embark's current freight partnerships are either pilots or smaller scale versions of what company plans to launch in the future. The company has a fleet of 16 trucks today that operate on highways with a human safety operator in the front seat just in case. But usually the driver does not have to take over, even if the autonomous vehicle encounters a new scenario. We saw this. There was another video. I don't know if it's on YouTube yet that I put out, but CBS 60 Minutes did a story, and Embark, I believe, was one of those carriers where a driver always goes out with the truck, but the computer does all the driving. The driver just sits there and makes sure that everything's good to go, and it's all on there, and we'll try to get that out there to everybody to see. It says operating on highways means building out a network of off-highway transfer hubs, which is actually pretty essential, even though it will require a lot of capital and time to scale. That's just kind of what I figured that Ryder would be doing. It would be invest to get the trucks out to other parts of the country to set up like maintenance hubs or facilities where, you know, a lot of times you see Ryder, not only do they rent trucks, but they sell them too. And I can see other carriers using the autonomous trucks as kind of like a lease to own or a rental procedure where they can rent the autonomous trucks just to see how they would work in the operation. And you might see that come out more where autonomous truck rentals might be coming in. Says there are a number of spaces for Ryder to play as a whole autonomous vehicle initiative evolves, but our first foray into this is really servicing and beginning to understand the technology as well as the requirements for operating hubs. So they say they just want it to be, they're doing this now so that they can get prepared for 2024, because that, I guess that's when a big launch is coming for a lot of these autonomous companies. And I just thought that was pretty interesting. And I don't know what everybody's thoughts were. I don't know. We're going to bring in Greg and Robbie back in to see what they think. So Greg, what do you think about autonomous trucks? You know, they're coming. I guess it's a good thing you're retiring, huh?
No, they ain't coming.
There you
go. Who they gonna sue when it runs over somebody? Yeah. They can't sue the driver. They can't sue. What they gonna sue?
Yeah. Well, they're gonna sue the government. Probably is what they'll have to do, because the government's the only one that's really, you know, supporting this and for it. The most people that work out here for a living, they're like, this is crazy, you know. So.
That government ain't gonna have no money, because they done gave it to everybody, all these lazy asses that don't want to work for unemployment. They ain't gonna have no money.
See, Greg's got all the inches, I tell you. He knows. Yep.
Let me think about it. I mean, the government keeps giving out money. Where's all this money coming from?
From you, man. Like, you paying taxes.
I'm about done.
I done
told the company they start that vaccine stuff, man. Start trying to force us to take vaccine. They ain't gonna happen. I'll park mine and go home. Simple as that. Done.
Right. Well, I was planning on doing it. Well, you know,
I was planning on giving it up mostly, just, you know, cutting down to just a couple, a week, a month or something. You're here in 3 years, just kind of semi-retiring, but. They start that nonsense, I'll park mine like a motorhome out of it. I don't care.
There you go. So, but I mean, you're talking about, like you say, and spending a lot of money, and that, where are they getting it all? Well, you know, that congresswoman up there in New York, she had the plan. She wore it on her dress, tax the rich. You know.
Yeah.
She got it all figured out. You know, I listened to a lot of the podcasts, and Ben Shapiro made a really good point, is that, you know, what would never be written on her dress is help the poor. Because tax the rich does not mean help the poor. Tax the rich means they have it and I want it. Tax it. But helping the poor, they say they help the poor, but they're not. They never do. You know, they just like the programs, you know, we see it. We see it all the time, because we got family members that need that stuff. And they're able to get those benefits that go out. But that's not enough. Or they do it for, you know, such a period of time where it's just it becomes second nature just to pass it out, where they get it and it doesn't fix the problem, you know.
Right.
You know, a lot of these people you see that get these benefits, there's only a rare certain amount of them are like, hey, thank you, I used it, I got to where I need to be, I don't need it anymore. You know, that hardly ever gets said by people that use those benefits. So yeah.
Well, it's like here lately, it's been on news about all these people crying poor out now because they're getting evicted. Sheriff's coming and throwing their stuff out in the yard and on the street and everything. And, yeah, they're getting evicted from their homes because they didn't pay their rent. Okay. You don't know everybody's circumstances, but when all that stimulus money and everything was thrown around, that's what it was supposed to be for.
Right, yeah.
To help people buy food, help them pay their utilities, pay their rent, you know, and as soon as that stimulus money come in, people was out buying cars, they was buying TV sets, they was going, you know, taking their kids, you know, and now they doing everything with it, but what they should have been doing, and now they're calling back in. Yeah, now you guys, now we want our money for rent. Well, I ain't got it. Why, that's poor me. What did you do with all that money?
Yeah, that's what I did. Nope. I was mad. I was like, you mean to tell me I've been paying rent all this time and I didn't have to?
Yeah.
You know?
But look on the bright side of it. You pay rent all that time, yeah, but you still got a house to live in. They ain't coming throwing you out the street, are they?
Right. No, they're kissing your butt now. But did you see, you know how all those liberals and all those people, the Democrats, they were really mad at these landlords for kicking these people out, you know, because, hey, that ain't right. You should be doing that. But then there was this apartment complex came out and said, everybody that lives here is required to get vaccinations, and if you don't show us that you've been vaccinated, then we will evict you. And people are like, good. good. They should be homeless if they ain't getting vaccinated. It's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, nobody's crying about people getting kicked out for not getting vaccinated, but you know, getting kicked out for not paying your rent. Oh, that's preposterous.
Well, just like landlords and stuff, they're charging rent for that apartment or that housing or whatever. But every year they got to pay taxes on that.
Yeah.
They got to pay maintenance on it. They got to pay upkeep and everything on that home that them people are renting. Now,
yeah.
If they ain't paying their rent, where's he getting the money to pay that at?
Right. And if he doesn't take care of that stuff, like let's say that he just doesn't, you know, choose to maintain the facility, and then the tenant calls, you know, the state, you know, whatever rental authority or whatever, yeah, whatever, they come downhill. That's a lot of fines that person has to pay to make sure
that's
done and everything. And yeah, especially in these big cities where all these apartments, you know, like New York and San Francisco and all that, you know, that's why rental property is so expensive. It's not because it's expensive because people are greedy. It's all these expenses tied to it. It's expensive to rent property.
Yeah, when that landlord's taxes comes due every year, you know, the state, the county, they want their tax money. What's he going to do? Say, well, if the tenants didn't pay their rent this year, so I don't have your tax money. Well, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. And they started foreclosure on him.
Hmm.
So now his rental properties that he's been renting, he ain't got any money out of them. He can't kick them out. And now they're going to foreclose on him, and they're going to seize his assets. So, you know, now they're going to put his stuff up for tax, you know, share sale.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah,
I cannot be sympathetic with these people. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Ryder was getting into the autonomous truck stuff, but have you ever dealt with Ryder before? Has Ryder ever come into your forte where you had to either deal with them or call them or use them or anything? No?
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
They do a lot of rentals, and a lot of these carriers that sometimes carriers that have like 20 or 30 trucks, you know, sometimes a truck goes down and that's all you got. You don't have a way to support something. So a lot of times you got to go call Ryder and go rent you a truck just to go make the delivery or whatever. You see that a lot, you know, especially people that run these accounts like FedEx and stuff, where if they can't run it, they lose it. You know, if you can't make that run, then you lose it. You lose that account. You lose that run. So sometimes you got to go rent a truck just so you can cover it.
Nah, I've never had a deal with Ryder.
Yep.
I know there's a lot of these bigger companies that lease their trucks off of Ryder, you know. As a matter of fact, Lou, you know who she was driving for. I ain't going to mention no names again, but that company right there, they leased her truck that she had for, what, 2 years or so, I got was leased off a Ryder.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's what happened, too, is Ryder. Yeah, Ryder was getting into that, too, where they were doing a lot of lease. They were the third party that a company could call.
Yeah.
If an owner or driver wanted to become an owner-operator, and this company wanted to hire owner-operators and do lease purchase, they were using Ryder as like the third party. Like Ryder would supply the trucks. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. They're
yeah.
Their hands
that works out.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is a lot of these companies out there, we talk about it before on becoming an owner operator and, or doing a lease purchase, you know, hey, more power to you. If that's what you want, but just know they're getting the deal because the system is set up for them to benefit more than you. That's the
way. You're not a lead purchase deal. Every once in a while, you'll run into a legitimate company, but more times than not, ain't nothing good going to come out of a lease purchase deal.
Right, right. Yep. Yep. Well, did Robbie make it back? Robbie, you still on there?
Yeah, I'm still on here. I'm listening to Greg Grant.
Oh, hey, you know.
You just keep starting to pot up some more.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Yep, I found that. I found
all right, Robbie, I'll be quiet. Jump up on your soapbox, Robbie. I'll be quiet for a minute.
Oh, no, I'm enjoying the show.
I found
you want me to make everybody
song.
Mad, huh? You want to make me the bad guy?
That's
you
okay. Want
to make me the bad guy, huh?
That's all right. I don't need to be the bad guy.
Care.
I already get myself enough in trouble. I don't get any more.
I ain't scared.
Hey, Robbie, you didn't think I liked you. And look, I even got you a fire pit.
Boy, I told him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Greg told me that.
Yep.
She likes me more than you, Greg.
Yeah.
Yep. I told him to make sure the bikes are all gassed up and ready to go.
Not a problem. Robbie gets to ride bitch with you.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, he can stay back and be cozy by the fire.
I got my fire.
Yeah, it'd be too cold for Robbie.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. It's going to be in the
70s. Yeah, you know that keep fire warm.
See you guys back in a couple hours.
So Greg sent me that. 70
degrees,
that
Robbie would be freezing.
This might be a sad song that Greg showed me the same, so I found it.
Pass it down like I ain't never seen. Don't you think this outlaw shit got now the hang? What started be a joke, all don't understand. Was it singing my nose that got me busted by the man?
Yep, definitely out of hand. Out of hand.
Yep, out of hand.
I just like to see that. I like to see outlaw trucking with autonomous trucks. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah. I just want to see what goes on first time they pull one of the things over and have them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You want to pull one over and you got the lights going and that truck's just going down the road, man. It has no clue that there's lights flashing behind it. Then you trying to pull it over. You imagine the first time that'll happen, that guy will be all over Facebook. It'd be the cop pointing, be shooting a cell phone where the cop's trying to pull a truck over and ain't nobody sitting in the driver's seat.
Cop over there trying to pull a pit maneuver on that truck. That truck put him off the cornfield somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Oh, man. Yeah. If we were talking about how, okay, so the autonomous truck's out there driving, but there's a driver in the truck, and the driver doesn't do anything unless necessary. Well, if I was one of those drivers sitting in that truck letting that computer go and that cop came up and said, hey, you need to pull over, I'd just kind of look out the window saying, I'm not driving. I'm not in control.
Yeah. Yep. You're talking to the wrong man here.
Yeah. You need to call my supervisor.
need to call Esther Bezos or one of them. Tell them about it. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm just sitting here riding. I'm not driving. Yep. Yeah, just like
that. What's going to happen when they go out there and there's a serious accident or whatever? Somebody, what's going to happen? Who's going to blame them? They're still going to try to blame it on that driver that's riding in that truck.
That's the fear.
If I'm going to take the fall for that truck accident, I'm going to be the one behind the wheel, not that computer.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Well, it's just like everything else. Like we were talking about before, the truck I drive is a newer company truck, and it's got all those bells and whistles where it's got the lane avoidance and the collision sensors and all that stuff, and it starts blowing stuff at you and all that. And, it's really not, it's not helping at all. It doesn't do anything.
Nope.
And what it does is it really irritates you and it stresses you out because it's like you're trying to get down the road. But, when things are starting to go off and then sometimes the stuff goes off and the truck will just slam on the brakes when a car cuts me off. The truck will just automatically just try to stop. And it's like, man, the truck. What's that now?
How does that work on ice and snow?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't know. The truck doesn't know what the road conditions are.
Greg, he drives in southern Texas. It doesn't snow down in southern Texas.
Yeah, I'm here in February.
No, we had snowvid. We called it snowvid in February, where we shut everything down. All the bridges around here were all shut down that year, or back in February.
While you were sitting at home last year, Robbie, I was down there in Dallas for 4 days and what they called a snowstorm.
There you go.
I was the smart one. I was sitting my butt at home.
Which to us up here, it wasn't nothing but a little bit.
All that was
a heavy frost.
But I mean,
I was
my whole thing
fine at home.
Was that the truck, not only does it not know the road conditions, whether it's icy, rainy, or whatever, but, you know, a lot of our training went into knowing what's around you, where you don't slam on the brakes because somebody's right behind you. You know not to do that, or you know not to swerve because there's another car over there. And these computers, they don't know that stuff. So if somebody gets in front of me like that and the truck wants to slam on the brakes because a car cut me off, it's just one of those things where I've got to be ready. So a lot of times I have to slow down knowing these cars are going to do stupid stuff. And what it does is it delays the time more to where I've got to now just kind of back off and run slower. And of course it irritates everybody else because I got to run slower, because if a car jumps out in front of me too close, the truck's going to try to stop. So I just drive slower because I know that's what the truck's going to do. Now, if we were behind the wheel, we can get down there and do what we needed to do, and we could get out of the way or do whatever, or we could just, hey, car, at your own risk, you're going to jump in front of me, you're going to get the air horn right in your ear, so, that kind of thing. But other than that, I got to slow down because the truck slams on the brakes, and anybody behind me is going to freak out because I don't know how the system works. Does when the truck brakes, does the lights light up? I don't know, because I'm not back there seeing that. So I'm assuming the brake lights work without me putting my foot on the pedal. But that I don't know. But yeah, I mean, stuff like that happens, and then a lot of times, there's a lot of it bells and whistles that I'd like to turn off, but I can't, and that kind of thing, and you always want to try to, do right by safety and everything, but we're out there on the road making decisions split of a second. A lot of times, it's not about safety; it's just about getting out of the way, doing the right thing. But yep,
I'm just curious to see how these street pipes are going to sound on these electric trucks.
Mm. Yeah, not too loud. What's gonna happen is you're gonna see a Peterbilt 379 with, it's gonna be electric, but it's still gonna have the big chrome stacks coming off the sleeper.
Oh no, it's gonna put it's gonna put Lincoln Chrome and all those stack companies out of business.
It's gonna put one of the movies came out and had all electric trucks, and what it was just a container sitting on a wheeled chassis, and there was no cab, nothing. And so, yeah, you put the bumper makers out of business, put everybody out of business, because if there's nobody in the truck, then nobody cares what the truck looks like. So if there's nobody driving it, who cares what the truck looks like? Just be a box going down the road.
Box of wheels.
Yep, all dirty because there's no what's going to happen if an autonomous truck shows up to the blue beacon?
Well, one thing about it, they won't care if it's clean when it comes out the other side.
Yeah, nobody's going to check. Hey, man, you rubbed my mirror. You bit my mirror. You rubbed my what they do? They take those rubber points up there and they scuff up your paint job or your chrome. Sometimes they get too close. Hey, man, you missed my mud flap. Ain't nobody checking. If nobody's checking, let's just give it a good spray and let it go.
Yep.
Funny. We know what time it is.
I don't know.
It's after 8:00. It looks like we got a good 2 hours in the books here. So we did a good job.
Yeah. Good show for Greg's rant.
Hey, that's good. Good YouTube right there. Good YouTube. That's good stuff. Yep. It's just like Howard Stern.
They
watch the show. They listen to the show just to hear what he might say next. Why do you keep watching? Just to hear what he might say next.
The love hate. They love to hate me.
That's what it is. Great.
Good. I figure stuff. If you can't have the truth or my opinion, don't listen.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You know, that's the cool thing about our sponsors is we haven't really had anybody, tell us, hey, maybe you need to be a little bit more, politically friendly or whatever like that. And we haven't been, so it's been a lot of fun. Been really successful. YouTube is doing great. People love it. And of course, we're getting all of our technical difficulties worked out here.
No, wait a minute. It all depends on what side of the political spectrum you're standing on as to how politically friendly we've been.
No, that's true. That's true. No, we probably should go after Republicans more because, we want to be an equal opportunity offender, right?
That's right.
Yep. So, yeah. Yep. I think, if any candidate called me up, I'd say, what kind of crazy person are you that wants this job, wants to be elected to an office? There's something missing. You got to screw loose somewhere if you want this job.
I keep hearing all this stuff going on around Facebook. Oh, this one's going up for an indictment. This one's being indicted. This one's being indicted. Nah, I don't believe it.
Nah.
Until I see some of them in handcuffs going to jail, I don't believe it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And you see what happens when these people, with your rich people, as soon as they get arrested, like they're really going to go to jail, then they mysteriously pass away.
Yeah, or they go to a country club.
Yeah, like Epstein. Did he really kill himself? Did he really die, or is he off on his island somewhere where he's not talking to anybody? Nobody knows.
Look at Bill Cosby. He done a lot of time in jail, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yep.
He's already out.
Yeah, they said that they did that wrong. They shouldn't have. What was it? The statute of limitations. They went through it too soon, or messed up something up, or didn't do something right, or whatever. But that whole thing to me, I think that's probably the best thing about Biden is that yeah, he really did a bunch of stupid stuff, but you know what? He's over 80 years old, and he's already living in a prison. Because he's probably sitting there like, why can't I do what I want to do? Well, you can't because you're over 80. So, you're limited on your ability. You got Bill Cosby, poor guy, he was getting into his dirty old man years, and then they started trying to put him in jail. It's like, yep. Man, the guy, he survived all those drugs and doing all that stuff and doing all that crazy stuff back in the 70s when everybody else was doing it, And now he survived that and then... one of those things where I don't know if he, like I said, we don't know if he messed stuff up there recently, but he made a great TV show. He made two great TV shows and that was great. People, they took his show off the air. That was a good TV show that was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they had it on Netflix and people were watching it because it was a good show. And then they took it off. Oh, we're not going to put that on there. Well, you know what you just did? You punished all the people that went into making that show that were getting royalties off that show. Now you took that paycheck out of their pocket. So it's like, so what? Don't punish the show. The show was good. And that person,
right,
that the Bill Cosby, the person that we see in the show, that supposedly was his life raising kids. Now I don't know if he was really like that, but according to his stand-up comedy and the stories he tell and all that, that's kind of how he did it. He was an educated person. So yeah, maybe he was a little crazy, but the show shouldn't have got punished for that. But like I said, he got so old, he was half blind and senile anyway. And then now we're going to arrest him. Oh, now we're going to do it. Now that he really can't really comprehend himself speaking, now we're going to put him in jail. It's like, man,
yeah,
the guy's on at the end of his ropes anyway. Just leave him be.
Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein didn't hang himself, right? You do know that, right?
Well, like I said, I'm even to the point now. Is he really dead?
He is.
You know,
if he is, he killed himself way too soon, or somebody else killed him too soon. what I'm saying, if he'd have hung out for another 6 months, he'd probably been back out on the street.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah. So either he, like you said, I don't think he killed himself either. I think that, you know, the Clintons or somebody even, you know, doesn't even matter who, because he was hanging out with a lot of high-powered people, and those people didn't want him talking, so they put him down. Or they took him out and put him on that island that he was supposedly owned. He's probably living out there like a king, you know. And they just tell him, stay out here and be quiet, and you'll live out the rest of your days. You know, you won't. If we see one peep out of you, you're you know, it's zip, lights out. You know, so you don't know. You never know. You know.
I don't know, man. It's a crazy world, man. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where it's going to end.
That's what they should do is they should hire Hillary Clinton to just go kill terrorists, because she knows how to get people silenced.
Oh, I'll tell you.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah. I mean, the federal government, the DO, Department of Defense probably can't go out there and kill terrorists on a regular basis, but you get Hillary Clinton, you get her out there and start killing terrorists. I'll tell you what, she'll get them all knocked out, because it's so funny. It's so, like you say, it's so ironic that so many people that have got the dirt on her, they end up missing somehow.
Yep. Every time somebody says something about Hillary, man, they come up missing.
Yeah. Yep.
That's why I don't say nothing about Hillary. I pick on everybody but Hillary, man, because I got a few more days left. She'll be knocking on my door tonight.
Oh, that's awesome. Good stuff. Well, cool deal. Yeah, man, I think we got a good deal in the books. Robbie, you okay? You got anything more to add?
Nope.
Good deal. Sounds good. But, yeah, we got so I don't know. Like I said, next week is a regular weekend. And then the next week, I still plan on doing a show on the – what was it going to be? On the 3rd of October. The 3rd of October, I probably should be still able to get on here because I'll be flying back – that morning. I'll be leaving out, I think around 7, no, it's like 8 or 9 or something like that. I can't remember. I got to check the flight, but I've scheduled to be back here by 3 is what my schedule is, so that I can still do the show. And I think that's what it did, so that I can have more time off. So,
What time should you be in on Thursday?
You know what? I had it written down. I've got it on my schedule right here. Let me pull it up. And it's on my calendar. And so it says I'm getting to Pittsburgh at 7:17 on Thursday evening.
Alrighty.
And then I'm leaving out Sunday morning. The flight leaves out from Pittsburgh at 9:45.
Okay.
So I mean, you're gonna make my ass get out of bed Sunday morning at 7 o'clock to take you back over to the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn it, man.
Or you just call me an Uber.
Yeah, you ain't getting no Uber out here. You get an Uber out here, it's gonna have a horse in front of it.
A horse and buggy.
Oh man, that's, you know what? We might have to call
a horse and buggy.
Yep, we might have to call that just to see if we can do it. Just to see if it'll do it. That's something.
Living in Amish paradise, buddy, out here.
That's awesome. But yeah, so that's going to wrap up this show this evening.
We're
all set to go. Everybody have a great night out there, and be sure to check out all of our great sponsors, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com, and also Trucker Tools. Check them out at truckertools.com. It's the Trucker Tools app. Also DPF Regeneration. That's dpfregeneration.com or 800-634-3010. And those great sponsors that we like, really should do appreciate their support. And just check out our website, redneckandeyes.com, for links to all of those sponsors and to our social media accounts, especially YouTube. You go subscribe and make sure you like and share our videos. We really appreciate that. And then comment on it and let us know what you think, and let us know, you know, topics we need to cover, stuff like that. It'd be really great. So until next time, be Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Like I said, our phone number is, 516-387-1733. And like I said, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. You have a great night, everybody.
Oh, man.
We'd like to send a shout out to all these great supporters. They hung in there with us through the beginning, and we couldn't have done it without them. GTS Enterprises, North Liverpool, Ohio. RM Transport of Chandler, out of Chandler, Arizona. CK Hunter Transportation, out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. Peter Ramsey Trucking, out of Mountain Grove, Missouri. Dixon Transportation, out of Sarcoxy, Missouri. Lifetime Nut Covers, out of Crystal Lake, Iowa. Iowa 80 Truck Stop, out of Walcott, Iowa. SoCal Flashlights, out of Los Angeles, California. My Right Load at www.rightload.com and DPF Regeneration at www.webakem.com. Thank all of you for your support and generosity to Redneckinize.